I remember when we would go to Promise Keepers and they would invariably ask what different groups were in the house. And they'd say, how many Baptists do we have here? And they'd get all excited. And how many Methodists do we have here? And they'd get not quite as excited as the Baptists. You know, the Baptists always seem to be the loudest group. But anyway, and the Catholics would never respond. And they'd just be like, yeah, whatever, we're here. Nazarenes, we were out at the snack stand. So anyway, but then we'd stop and they'd say, but how many here are here today because of Jesus? And the place would just go nuts. Because of Jesus. And I love that song. Thank you, Laura. It's just amazing how across the miles, we have a group right now that's over in Israel, and they're retracing the footsteps of Jesus. I just love it. It just comes to life one more time when I see the pictures on social media, that is where he lived and taught, died, was resurrected. I'm going to borrow these two ladies right up here, and along with Mr. Joe, if you will hand out so that each person gets one of these, okay? So let me just give you some and give you some. As we've been tracking, here, Uncle Joe, I'll let you have some. As we've been tracking this series of Better Together, I thought it would be good. I told you last week I was going to give you a copy of the, just kind of the overview. Now, beyond today, you see that today is week 10, bear one another's burdens. Beyond today, nothing is done. All you have is what I have, is the scripture, okay? So each week, I have identified a scripture that goes with these one another statements, but it's one of those works in progress. I did find, you can find everything on the internet, I did find this printout on the backside that kind of helps explain each of the one another statements. But truly, the thought is this, that we are definitely better together, better together. Now, last week we talked about serving one another, serving one another. On the back, it talks on serving one another, setting aside our tendency to be self-serving. We will willingly submit to Christ and find ways to serve one another. We looked at the scripture that said last week, you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but do not use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. The goal is this, is to take the freedom that we have in Jesus and channel it for service, channel it to serving others. I got to spend a few days with my mom and dad this week. And Dad told me a story. Dad's 89. He told me a story of a preacher that called one day. Her name was Blanche. She pastors a little country church, probably a dozen or so people nearby. And she said, Bob, she says, it's my turn to go to the jail and bring the message. And they never let anybody go to the jail. It's the county jail there. They never let anybody go by themselves. You have to go in twos at least. So Blanche said, I can't find anybody. Will you go with me? And when Dad started that story, I immediately got chuckling inside because here's 86-year-old Blance, the preacher, and 89-year-old Bob, the layman, headed into jail, you know? And of course, Dad, most places like that, he takes his walker along, or actually it's his rolling walker, and I can just see him and Blanche rolling up, and she had a bag like you'd pick up at, I don't know, maybe Kohl's or somewhere, and it had all kinds of stuff in it. Dad on the phone said, now, Blanche, do you need me to do anything? She said, Bob, I got it. All I need you to do is be, you know, the opening prayer and closing prayer, no problem. So they got to the prison or the jail there, and sure enough, Blanche opened up her bag of stuff, pulled out a Bible. Dad gave an opening prayer. Blanche led them in some singing, and then she had little goodie bags for each of them that had reading glasses, and they were marked on the outside of the goodie bag what the power of the reading glasses might be. And then she also had another bag that had envelopes with paper already inside stamped on the outside. Blanche had it all together. Blanche gave the scripture. Blanche gave her testimony of how her first husband had committed suicide and all these other things that happened in her world, but how God had saved and worked in her life and how God had a plan for their lives. And then Dad prayed the closing prayer. When I thought of serve one another, hearing that story was on the heels of last Sunday's message. I thought, there it is, okay? So now it's okay if you're over 90, okay? Maybe, well, Dad's going to keep doing it even when he's 90, okay? But I, at least till that point, be serving. Amen. Be serving. Channel the freedom that Jesus has given you to do something. Yeah. To do something. That's why we're still here, is to take the freedom that we've been given in Jesus and to serve others around us. Today, we're talking about bearing one another's burdens. to help bear the burdens of life, physical and spiritually, to seeking to fulfill the law of Jesus. And we'll get to that in a little bit. That's the whole backstory, the reason behind bearing each other's burdens is we're seeking to fulfill the law of Jesus. Now, I've given you that statement. Let's look at it together. I love this. In fact, since you have it in front of you, would you read it with me? And you can look at the screen if you'd like. We aren't meant to go through life alone. This life journey is long, and that's why God created us to live connected to one another. I always find it beneficial to be surrounded by people who can encourage me while also holding me accountable. We are all better together. Let's read that last statement again, okay? We are all better together. Do you believe that? If we believe the Bible, we believe that, okay? Let's just start there, okay? Today we're called to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. This idea is carrying one another's burdens. The word bear, in the context of bearing or holding up each other, occurs 25 times in the Bible, 25 times in the New Testament. You can see what it's connected with here. Carrying a water jar, carrying a coffin, carrying stones, carrying money, carrying a corpse, carrying one another, carrying a yoke, carrying a man, maybe even carrying a woman. To bear one another's burdens. Now, to bear one another's burdens, listen carefully, does not mean that we're just here to hear each other's issues and just kind of tolerate it. There's a purpose. There's a purpose. Paul doesn't really tell us what he had in mind with this specific burden, but he tells us to cooperate in bearing burdens of suffering, grief, persecution that are brought on by social, economic, spiritual conditions. Whatever those burdens are, we're called to rally around each other and support them. That's what he's talking about. That's what he's talking about. Now, for me, in the study of the scripture this week, Galatians 6:2, and then we'll look at Galatians 6:1 in a little bit, the aha moment was this, that we are in this process of bearing each other's burdens to help restore each other, okay? Listen carefully. We're not called just to come and have a gripe session. These are my problems, these are your problems. Boy, we all got all God's chillin' got problems. That's not why we get together to bear each other's burdens. When you look at verse 1, there's a purpose for that. And the purpose is this: restoration. Restoration. We're called not to get together and feel sorry for one another. We're called not to get together and after a while say, well, they've got so many problems. Do they even matter anymore? We're not called to shoot our wounded. We're not called for that. We're called to restore. Question is this: who is responsible to bear these burdens? Well, the scripture says this: bear ye one another, each other's burdens. The ye in the original language means you, plural. So as the body of Jesus, we're called to bear each other's burdens. We're everybody in the body of Christ. This is why we have to be one another, okay? We cannot do this solo. We can't do it solo. There are no lone rangers in the body of Jesus. We're all part of this together thing. And I'm finding the longer I live, the more together I need to be with the body of Jesus. By the way, home groups are happening tonight. Check your bulletin insert for more information. Because it's about that together time. It's about sharing a meal together. It's about studying, the letter to the church at Galatia together. Better together. That's what Paul, and that's why this whole issue of bearing each other's burdens is so valuable. Ladies in the Bible study yesterday morning, sharing each other's burdens as well as watching a video and discussing the scripture. Sharing, bearing each other's burdens. We have that responsibility as the body. As the body, and I'm anxious to get to verse 1, but we'll get there in a little bit. This is it. This is why we see this is why the body of Jesus needs to step up and help. This is why when I think of things like secret families or yesterday Walk a Mile or other efforts that we get together with other believers and as the corporate and the local church as we reach out at Thanksgiving and Christmas, we've hurt ourselves. Because a lot of times the church has kind of gotten caught up in just kind of the little things that churches do and forget about this larger responsibility as the body of Jesus to bear burdens in and outside the body. And so the government has come along and then we shake our fist and get all upset. Why do we need more government programs? That's just going to raise our taxes. And Big Brother's watching. Well, we've got to reclaim body of Jesus.
Amen.
This idea of bearing one another's burdens. That's where we have to step back up. As we shake our fists and say, you don't need to have all those programs to help people that should be helping themselves. That's where we as the body of Jesus need to step up. And you know what? We're here to help you. We're here to help yourself. And guess what? We're asking you to help others as we help you. Kind of like that whole thing with Habitat for Humanity, where people have to have a little skin in the game in building a home. They aren't just given a home and the keys to say, here, enjoy. They have to be involved as well. The church, and individuals need to step up as well. Everyone in the church helps out in a possible and practical way, as well as individuals. We bear each other's burdens. It's our primary responsibility, whether it be through fellowship, through prayer, through counseling and teaching, physical, financial help, referring others, networking other people around us. But the problem is this bearing way, it gets broken down along the way. And one of the ways is communication. The barrier to this idea of bearing each other's burdens, the first thing that comes up is this. Sometimes we're called, or we feel like we're called, we just kind of have to keep it in here, you know? We're not supposed to let our emotions out there. We're not supposed to, you know, well, they've got enough problems of their own. Well, they don't want to hear my problems. And so we don't communicate. And then if we don't communicate and our problems get worse, then we feel like people don't care and people can't read our minds. We can't blame others for not responding if we don't communicate. Or maybe another thing is there's possibly a lack of interest or concern. Now this is something that really I chewed on for a while this week, and that's the focus of, okay, we're caught up in our own burdens, and we forget the responsibility of helping other people who are going through, oh, I've got enough problems of my own, I can't afford to help that other person. They're not helping me. I don't even have time to help myself. I can't help them. But there's this biblical principle, if you want to look it up in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it's there, that says that if we will help comfort others, as we will pour out comfort, to, even if we're hurting ourselves. You know, some of the people I've seen that are the busiest, hardest working people I know are people that have problems of their own, that are struggling on their own. They're struggling financially. They're struggling physically. They've got all kinds of issues, but they're in there just bearing each other's burdens because they've learned this simple truth out of 2 Corinthians 1 that says, as I share comfort that God has given me, He backfills into my life more comfort.
Right.
As I bless others, He blesses me. It's just that principle. I can't help it. And I just have this belief that people that give and give and give, there's something inside of them that's just, you know, like that old song, I can never outlove the Lord. You know, I just keep trying and He keeps backfilling into my life. I don't know what I'm going to do. So this is the idea that we have to be showing interest. We have to sympathize with others. We have to reach out to others. And the third thing is it takes commitment. That's part of the breakdown with bearing each other's burdens. We're not committed. I see people and I hear stories of somebody say, well, they volunteered to be a big brother or they volunteered to mentor this person. And they showed up the first week and we never saw them again. They said they would help out and they were there the first week. And this commitment is something so much deeper than this. It's a passion thing.
Amen.
It's a passion thing. And sometimes we may not feel it, but if we allow the Lord to reveal it, He will show there's a passion inside. Now this idea of this, why we do this in the last part of this verse, then we'll go back to verse 1. But in the last part of this verse, it says, we are doing this because we are fulfilling the law of Jesus. I want to please Jesus.
Amen.
How about you all? Are you with me? You want to please Jesus? Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Some of us are all caught up in pleasing ourselves, you know. Some of us are all caught up in being pleasers and trying to please everybody else, you know. Take care of those kids and grandkids because someday I'll be needing a nursing home, you know. I need to take care of them so they'll take care of me. That's not what this is talking about here. The burden bearing that we do, the love that we're showing, is we are doing it because we're to fulfill the law of Jesus. It all boils down to loving our neighbor as ourself. James calls it the royal law. Shall love your neighbor as yourself in James 2:8. Bearing each other's burdens. This freedom that we have is not a freedom from responsibility. It is a freedom to serve, and it's a freedom to bear each other's burdens. It's huge. It's huge. Now, I said all that, and I want to get back to verse 1, though, because to me, this is where it all happens. Verse 1 sets the context for all about 10 verses in chapter 6 of Galatians, okay? Look at verse 1. One of the best translations I saw in this was the English Standard Version. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgressions, you who are spiritual, and I bold and underline that, you who are spiritual should restore, I bold and underline the word restore, him in a spirit of gentleness, and I bold and underline spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too should be tempted. Okay, here's the deal, folks. To be out there and to be bearing each other's burdens, the reason is here in verse 1. Because we have people that are struggling. They're caught. They're hurt. Now, sometimes it's easy to label a sin because it's visible in the life of the person. A person who has some kind of outward addiction and a person who is struggling. But everyone struggles with these issues of transgressions along the journey of life. And so what we're called to do as the you who are spiritual, we're called to help others on the path. And that's why he goes into bearing each other's burdens. That's why bear one another's burdens is important, because we are on a mission. We're on a mission. I love the TV show Fixer Upper. Probably my favorite show. And been to the place, you know, and I know Jerry and Jody and others have been there in Waco, Texas, where Chip and Joanna have their kind of their headquarters and the silos and the gift shop and the bakery and the bakery. It's just awesome. It's amazing. It really is. But the thing I love on that show is the whole restoration process. The fact that they take a home, and in some cases it's not in too bad a shape, but it needs to be fixed up. In other cases, it's a rat-infested mess. And they take that thing down to the studs, and they tear out the flooring and the subflooring, and sometimes even replace floor joists. And you have the before picture, and Joanna sits there and has this computer-generated idea of this and that, what it's going to look like. And Chip's working away, and Joanna's working, and they're both, and they have all their helpers, and Cliff and the whole bunch of guys are all there, Clint, and they're all there working. And by the end of the program, you know what happens? They have that you've seen the show. They have that huge wall that's out there on the street, and it's on wheels, and they get ready to pull it apart, and they break for commercial. And then they come back, and then they pull it apart, and they're like, whoa! And the house glows, and it sparkles, and they walk in. It's like, this was the trashy kitchen. This is the awesome kitchen. This was the trashy living room, bathroom, bedrooms. We're involved in a spiritual restoration process in this world. We're not here just to coast. Amen. We're not here just to make it across the finish line. We're deeply involved, engaged, entrenched in a restoration process. Whether it be with the raising of our children, or the watch care and mentoring of our grandchildren, or our spouse, or our neighbors, or our community. You know, there's a book that was out years back by Senator Clinton. It was entitled, It Takes a Village. I've found a copy again from Neil Weissman and H.B. London. It takes a church within a village. And they have a place in there, and I'll make copies of this at some point. 39 principles that you can do as a church to make a difference in your community. And it's all about one of them, and number 4, is about mentoring. It's all about the restoration process. There are kids that come from broken homes, that come from absent parent homes, or even two parent homes, and they're kind of checked out, and they need mentors to step up and step in their lives and not give up, but say, you know what? I'm here to help restore. I'm here to help restore. And he says this, you who are spiritual. For me, this was the fun part of the sermon, okay? Oh, I love this part. I hope you love it too, okay? You who are spiritual. Jerry, you're going to like this. I know you're going to like this, okay? Because spiritual, in this context, you who are spiritual, comes from the word pneuma, which is Holy Spirit, okay? Pneuma, wind, you who are spiritual. The same word we get pneumatic, okay? By the time the sermon's over here in about 10 or 15 minutes, I hope you feel pneumatic, okay? Pneumatic. Now, I looked up the word pneumatic and went to Webster's, of course. The first thing is of, related to, or using air or wind. Pressurized wind, like a pneumatic drill. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Another one, which was interesting, and Webster said, of or relating to the pneuma, spiritual. The third one was having a well-proportioned female figure. Okay, some of you are going to get stuck on that one, okay? All right? And you probably deserve to get stuck on that one, okay? But I'm thinking back when I was a kid and we went to Sears. Dad got the battery, the diehard battery, and the tires from Sears when I was a kid. They had a little catalog store, but they had a full-blown garage in the back. And Dad would go back, and I was amazed because at home, if we ever had a flat tire, Dad had to get that, you know, that lug wrench out, and it usually had the four different directions on, you know, the four ends. And man, sometimes we'd almost have to stand or jump up and down on it to get the lug nuts loose, and we tightened them. We want to make sure that we went to Sears. And they had this drill attached to an air hose, and and all those, it just magically took all those lug nuts off, just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, pull the tire off. And that was back before OSHA was such a big deal, and so I like to be in the garage and watch all this happen. They took the tire over, and they laid it on this machine of sorts, and they had a bar that they would stick under the rim there, and all of a sudden it would go around. Janie's dad, your dad and grandpa had a garage, and that bar would go around, and it would flip off the edge of the tire, and then it'd go around again and flip off, and it'd go, and they'd change out the inner tube or just put a whole new tire on there. That was back when tires had inner tube. But think about this. You and I are called and have the opportunity to have that same power. See, the Holy Spirit is there for peace, absolutely. The Holy Spirit is there for cleansing, absolutely. One of the things I know we need the Holy Spirit for is this, for power in our lives. Another thing it talks about, I was doing some research. If we're a spirit-filled pneumatic Christian, one of the commentators said this, related to the human spirit, rational soul, the part of man which is akin to serving God as his instrument. Emanating from the divine spirit, capital D, capital S, meaning Holy Spirit, exhibiting its effects and its character. Are you exhibiting the character of the Holy Spirit? We're called to do that. And the reason we're called to do that is because we're in the restoration business. The restoration business, the word restore, means to complete or prepare, to compact together, full destination or use, bringing into its proper condition, tightening that thing down to function properly. And it also talks about in Galatians 6:1, as it talks about restoring that person back to where they need to be restored. In the original language, in the Greek, it's in the tense that means a continual restoration. It's not like, hey, guess what? We had this meeting, we prayed with that person, and now they're in a Bible study, go. No, it means we had that meeting, we're praying with that person in a Bible study, we're helping them get involved in the life of the church, we're going to do life with them. That's, again, better together. We're going to do life with them for the rest of our lives. For the rest of our lives. And then the question is, it says to restore with a spirit of gentleness. What does that mean? Gentleness. Gentleness. Let me just say it this way. Expresses power with reserve. See, gentleness is not just bless your heart, pat on the back, talk to you soon. Gentleness is like the Holy Spirit is so embedded in my life that I want to explode right now. But because he's helping me to act in a reserved manner, I'm going to be like that wrench and just do a little bzz, bzz, okay? I'm not going to cut the wrench and let the air just blow everywhere. I'm going, the believer, that's what we're, it's the Lord inspiring and working and directing and empowering us to do that which we cannot do apart from him.
Amen.
Let me read this. It begins with the Lord's inspiration and finishes with his direction and empowerment. It is divinely balanced virtue that can only operate through faith. Divinely balanced virtue. It's the fact that he is empowering me. Did a little checking. Back in the day when I was a kid, if we were out in the yard and we were needing to till up the garden where we lived, in that part of Missouri, there were a lot of rocks. Okay? Now, Dad had, he probably got it from his dad, one of those picks, you know, that was pointed on one end, kind of flat on the other. And that is how we would attack the rocks. And in fact, we had neighbors one time, they built a home. I felt like they had more rocks than they had dirt, but they needed to clear it all out to put in a yard. So we're out there working on trying to create a garden spot. And the way I figured it, about 6 or 8 times a minute, I could swing that pick and try to remove that rock a little bit. Now, there's an invention that was around before I was called the jackhammer, okay? And that thing, while I'm going about 6 times or so a minute, it is actually going 1,500 times a minute, which is 25 times a second. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. That is what I want us to think about, this idea of the Spirit being at work in our lives, that He wants to make us pneumatic Christians. He calls us to be that. He calls us to be equipped by His Spirit to bear each other's burdens, equipped by His Spirit to bear each other's burdens, to restore them with meekness so they can understand what they were called to be in God's eyes. See, when we help and bear each other's burdens, it's not just a process that's just like we're just going to keep doing this and just keep. It's not like we're in this little lifeboat out there just kind of floating around helping each other out. We're destined to go to a position somewhere. We're headed somewhere.
That's right.
And we want others to be with us. Now, here's my concern, okay? My concern is if we don't recognize the need. Are we seeking to find that need? Are we seeking to look into the lives of others? Not to point out and say, hey, I see you have a need. No, just to step into their lives and start asking questions. I'm here for you. I value you. I love you. I want to do life with you. How can we, instead of saying, what's your need, say, how can we do life together? You know, when you start doing life with people after a while, you don't have to go through that 4 or 5 question process. It just starts happening, you know? My friend Paul went to college with, went to Israel with. It's just that relationship we have. And sometimes we can message or send a phone text or call, and just like, we don't have to go through that, okay, how can I do life with? We're doing life. I encourage you to do that more and more with people around you. Recognize those needs. And the second thing, I've already talked about this, if we see the need, we need to stick with the process. That's another problem, is people don't stick with the process. Yeah. Stan Toler said it years ago, we used to live in a marathon society, long journey, now it's more of a sprinter society. It's like, see the need, take care of the need, okay, next, and we just move on from this to this to this to this. And sometimes we need to understand it's going to be a marathon in this life. Stick with the process. Mentoring. You know, I am so concerned. I guess I just keep coming back to that. I see young men, and ladies, I hope you see young ladies, who need to be mentored. And I'm engaged in that, and I will be engaged in that for the rest of my life, you know. In a couple weeks, basketball team will be here. Hopefully on that Sunday, we'll have electricity. Remember last year on that Sunday, we didn't have electricity that day. It was crazy. We did by that night. But I keep a basketball. I first started being the chaplain there in 2010. Keep a basketball. I'll show you in a couple weeks. And the guys that were on the team that year all signed it. At the end of the basketball season, I take out the seniors. And Brian knows about this. Hey, we go to B-dubs. If they want to go somewhere else, I'll take them. But B-dubs seems to be the place. And I bring a marker, and I have those seniors sign it. I keep that basketball where I can see it every week. And there are times on social media I'll see this guy or that guy struggling. See, it didn't stop. When they graduated from high school, it didn't stop.
Right.
I didn't stop being a chaplain for those guys then.
Right.
It's a lifelong thing, you know? It's a lifelong thing. Same thing with you. You've got people that God wants to bring in your life, and I want to encourage you to stick with the process.
Yes.
Stick with the process. That's what, I'm so thankful to have Sarah's here working with the teens, and she's mentoring them through those junior high and high school years. And then Dan is helping with the college age and young adult. And we just never stop ministering. And I hope that you get on with this thought in your mind that I need to step up and do that too.
Yes.
If you don't have that thought, get that thought.
Amen.
And don't leave the process. Sometimes we have to be careful that we're restoring with gentleness. Sometimes we don't restore with gentleness. See that person over there? Ugh. And then we kind of just walk away. Or we try and we fail. And I've started a mentoring process with a good friend, and we're about 5 weeks in. I'm just getting started. And I'm not giving up. And that person knows it. I just told them, not giving up. You can block me all these weeks if you want to. You can put up the generic responses. I'm not giving up. Not giving up. That's what gentleness is all about. It's that pursuit. And then Paul says this, and this is what we have to be careful of. And I don't know, Lori, if you're able to go back to that slide that has Galatians 6:1 on it. We'll just kind of walk through it just real quick again. Don't get pulled in too far. You know? This is we have to. And I love this. It's like the whole process is in this verse right here. You see somebody who's hurting, jump in. You're spiritual, jump. As you're spiritual, you're deputized. You don't have to be locally licensed, district licensed, ordained. If you are spiritual, you are in. You should jump in and help that person in the restoration process in a spirit of gentleness. Now, at the same time, though, Paul says this, because he knows that you and I are human too. Be careful, lest you too be tempted. Now, what that means is don't get so immersed in the life of the person that you forget about your own spiritual life. That is so, so important. At that point, we cross over, and psychologists know a lot more about this than I do, into issues of codependency and transference and all those other words that they get paid to help people understand. But our responsibility is this, is to be pneumatic, to be spirit-filled. With gentleness, we are involved in restoring others. How are you doing? Are you bearing the burdens of those around you? Another thing, and that maybe that's part of the last part of verse 1 that I don't really get into here, is understand that we're not Jesus, okay? That's the thing, too, that lest you be tempted, too. Because sometimes, and this is a whole other sermon for another time, is we can be tempted to kind of be the savior of other people, feeling like we have to have all the answers or all the principles, and we're going to do all this restoring. No, we're instruments. Just like the pneumatic drill or whatever the tool it is, we're an instrument in his hands. So that's another temptation we have to avoid, is feeling like we have to save them. What we do is we're there to restore. And he uses us. Let's pray together this morning. Would you stand with me? And if we can bow our heads and just take a moment of prayer. And let me just ask you, is there, first of all, first question, heads bowed, eyes closed. Is there a burden in your life? We're talking about bearing each other's burdens. First question is this. I back up a bit, step outside the lines of the focus of the sermon. Is there a burden in your life that you need to come and pray about? If so, I want to have you take someone else. Don't come by yourself. Please take somebody else and say, would you come pray with me? I have a burden. Take your, whether it's your spouse or a friend or someone, just take someone and come pray. Do you have a burden this morning? Just bring somebody with you and come pray. Would you do that? That's part of that recognition that we're confessing that we have burdens. Confessing one to another our burdens. And then the Bible says that we are called to bear each other's burdens. Maybe this morning you want to come and pray for someone else. I know we have several needs. Several needs. In the church, in the community. Part of the way that you bear burdens is to pray. That was one of the principles. Praying for other people. Intercede. This is a huge thing. This is, I think this is why I got struck this morning going over this again early this morning here at the altar was this thought of we've allowed government entities to step up and other well-meaning groups to step up where we as the church better together should step up. That's why we need each other as a collective group to step up and minister. To step up. There's a food pantry that we step up and help. There are women at the YWCA stepping up, Muncie Mission stepping up, all these different entities around us. As the body of Jesus at Harris Chapel, we want to bear each other's burdens. I know there are some of us individually that are sponsoring children in other parts of the world. Through Nazarene Compassionate Ministry, through World Vision, through other groups, you're sponsoring children. You're stepping up to bear burdens there. Someday, through your prayers and outreach to those kids, we're trusting and believing that God would step up where they're at to help them bear burdens with people around them, to give to others as it's been given to them. We're praying for those people today. We have missionaries in many world areas. Oh, we know about 160, 70 or so, but others that we don't even know about in our tribe, ministering, bringing the gospel. The work is going so well, it's flourishing in parts of the world greater than it's flourishing right here, because people are bearing each other's burdens. Oh, Jesus, as we're here today praying, help us to recognize burdens. Help us to confess. If we have a burden in our life, help us to have the gall, help us to have the wherewithal to confess to our friends, I'm struggling. And Lord, help us to recognize others that have needs, and help us to step up, Lord. Help us to step up and minister to them. Jesus, this is a tall order. This is huge. This is huge. You went to the cross bearing the burden of sin for the entire world. Help us to take up our responsibility, or as the Bible says, our cross, to reach into the lives of those around us, to bear each other's burdens in this restoration process. How exciting. How thrilling it is to see a home, to see an automobile, to see some other structure that's been restored. It's like, wow. Father, we're involved in the greatest thing of all, seeing lives restored, seeing men and women and boys and girls restored to the image of Jesus, that they could be image bearers for Jesus. May it be so, Lord. May it be so. Lord, I get so caught up in that. Again, just want to take a moment and pray for the needs around us, Jesus. Those that are hurting, those that have physical needs, those that have spiritual needs, those that have emotional needs, those that have financial needs. Remind us, Lord, that prayer is a powerful tool. It's the avenue through which the pneuma works. Sometimes, Lord, the reason the pneuma isn't working in us, the spirit, the wind isn't blowing, is we haven't taken time to connect up with the channel, with the source. Jesus, help us daily, moment by moment. And Father, I pray that you would equip us as we're at these altars, as we're in this sanctuary. Equip us, Lord. Empower us, Lord, to be pneumatic for the cause of the kingdom. We can accomplish a little bit with our own strength, like that little pickaxe. But oh, to be filled with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Amen.